This is the fourth message in the series that we're going to be talking about, and our final message of the message of discipleship. You know, the issue of discipleship that we've been talking about in these last weeks really sums up the whole issue of our Christian experience. It really is what life is about. And, you know, I guess, you know, I can preach about a lot of different things, but when you talk about discipleship and following the Lord, I mean, I think the critical issues are the things we've been talking about here. I think everything is encapsulated in some form or another into the things that we have been saying. The first week we talked about the fact that a disciple believes. Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. And the good news is Jesus came, as we sang this morning, on the cross to die for our sins and to give us an opportunity to have eternal life. You get eternal life the moment you commit your life to Jesus Christ. You get eternal life now. You get heaven later, but you get eternal life in the now. And we found out that what believing means is being fully convinced, persuaded. That is your conviction. There is no wavering. It's as sure as you know that there is electricity, you know, that when you turn the light switch, it's going on, you know. And so we just know that God loves us so incredibly and that we believe in what he has done. He has come to this world. He's given himself. He's taken on our sin. And if we just believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life and commit our lives to him, then we get to go to his heaven someday. But we get eternal life now because he comes to live inside of us. So the first thing was believe. Be persuaded of that. I mean, that is the central issue of everything, isn't it? The second week we talked about imitate was the second word. And we talked about how that Jesus said, look, it's enough for the pupil to be like the teacher. You know, the disciple is the pupil, and so it's enough to be like his master, his Lord. And the word we found enough meant to be content, to be satisfied, even success, it means. And that we found out that the deepest need of our human experience is met by giving ourselves fully to God. Absolutely fully. That there is no way to feel satisfied in this life pursuing anything else but God. Because there's this huge hole in our hearts. And following God is the way to fill that need, that longing, that thing we're looking for that we look in all the wrong places for sometimes. And so we know that there is this incredible blessing that comes to us by following Jesus, becoming like him. And that's what he wants us to do. Last week we talked about sacrifice, and we said there is a cost. There's a cost to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, look, if you're going to come after me, you've got to do what? Deny yourself. That's first, because these things do not go in reverse order. The first thing you have to do is deny yourself. Secondly, take up the cross, which means you bear the will of God for your life. See, Jesus' cross was settled in the garden. That's why he could be at peace. Not my will, yours be done. Jesus, God's will for Jesus was that he go to a cross. His will isn't for you to go onto a cross. That's probably not his will for you. But the will of God for you, God does have a plan for your life. And you have to get under that. That's your cross. You cross yourself out and say yes to the will of the Lord, just like Jesus did in the garden. Not my will. I cross myself out. I will take the literal cross so that God's plan can be fulfilled. So we found out that there was a cross that we must bear if we were going to follow him. And that kind of the capstone of the message last week was really solidified by a quote from John Maxwell that learned about in the Maximum Impact Seminar for business leaders and leaders of all kinds on that previous Friday, when he said he was doing the seminar on failing to reach our potential. And so he said this. He said, people fail to reach their potential because, remember this, they fail to pay the price their potential demands. That is a genius quote. And that's so many of us. We fail to pay the price that our potential demands. And so we hold back from God. And when God demands our everything, if you want to have your full potential of your life lived out, then you've got to abandon yourself to God, as Jay just led us in that incredible song. Completely abandoned to God. There's a price to that. We have to deny whatever we want to do ourselves, because we must follow Jesus in that way. You know, discipleship is really about bringing people to the potential of their lives. That's what discipleship is all about. So often it seems the Christian is afraid to abandon himself completely to God, because he thinks that if God has the complete say in his life, somehow he will get shortchanged. You know, I won't be able to enjoy life. I won't be able to have the fun I want to have. I won't be able to do the things I want to do. You see, I'll somehow get shortchanged because God is going to just take away all the things I really want to do. That's deception, don't you see? That is absolute deception. Because the only way that you can fulfill what God has in your life is that you give yourself totally to Him. He knows what's in you. He's created you. He knows how to get all that out. And you know, the enemy would like us to be deceive us and say, you know, you give yourself fully to God, He's going to take advantage of it, use you. You're going to waste your life. That's total lies. You abandon yourself to God, and then you see. Then you get what your life was supposed to be in the first place. People fail to pay the price their potential demands. And the price is abandonment to God. That sacrifice of ourselves to the Lord. We know that. Well, I just re-preached those three sermons. Okay, so that gives us the fourth message this morning, and that is the word obedience. Obedience. If you're looking for your notes this morning, look real hard, but you won't find them because I didn't do them, so okay, here we are. But the point of the message this morning is obedience is the defining test of discipleship. How do I know if I'm a disciple? Well, obedience is the defining test, isn't it? God demands obedience from us. The verses of scripture that I want to use is in John chapter 10, Jesus' famous passage about the good shepherd and him being the shepherd. And he says in verse 14 of John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And in verse 27 he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus is addressing this issue of obedience, hearing his voice, obeying his voice. Lord, just let our hearts be absolutely encouraged by your word today, and let us be obedient followers of you, which is the defining test of our discipleship. We just pray that you will speak to our hearts clearly, as you already have done this morning through your Holy Spirit, for which we give you thanks. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just define obedience for a few moments. Obedience in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word shama, S-H-A-M-A, if you'll like to write that down. But what it means is this: to hear intelligently. To hear intelligently, to give attention to, and then to obey. Now, the King James Version has a wonderful word for this that encapsulates it, and it's the word hearken. Isn't that a great word? Hearken. Because what it means is, you not only hear, but then you do. Hearken to my voice. That means, you know, I hear what God is saying, and then I go ahead and I follow him. That's a great word. We probably don't use it much anymore, but it probably encapsulates the whole concept of that the best of any word that I know. So that's what it is. We hear intelligently. Now, without breaking down the Hebrew letters and going into all that this morning, I'll just give you what I think that word really means in its essence. And it means something like this: to understand the divine genius of God's fountain of wisdom. To hear, to obey God is to understand, to see and understand the divine genius of God. You know, God's commandments are not for him. They're for us. You know, there's, like, what, 633 commandments in the Old Testament? You know, those commandments are not so God can get a kick out of kicking us around and telling us what to do. They're for our good. I mean, thou shalt not kill, well, that's kind of for our good, isn't it? You know, that's for the good of society. It's not for God's good, it's for our good. Everything God says to us and every command he gives to us is for our good. It's the divine genius. And we understand the divine genius because it flows out of his wisdom. He's way smarter than us. And so when we say, okay, I'm going to obey you, Lord, that means, okay, I see the divine genius in doing what you say because it's the right thing to do and it will bring blessing to my life. The New Testament has a word for that as well. The word for here is the Greek word akouo, A-K-O-U-O or something like that. And when you put the word hoopa, you know, you have a hypothyroidism, it's under, right, Kathy? Hypo means under. Hoopa is the word, Greek word for to be under something. So when you put hoopo akouo, what means, that's the word for obey, to hear under, you put yourself underneath the one who's speaking in obedience to that voice. So what it means is, it's like, you know, you kind of get a funnel, and God just kind of pours it, and you're right underneath God, and you're responding to him. The interesting thing is that the word for disobedient is para, same akouo, but it means to hear beside. It's like the words fall right beside you and make no impact on you. And so you disobey. You go your separate way because it has no impact on your life. So those words, I hope, help to clarify what obedience is all about. I hear intelligently, you see, and I get right under God, and I say, okay, God, pour it into me. I'll do what you call me to do. Second thing I want to tell you about that, not only that, to define that, is that obedience is responding affirmatively to God's voice. I couldn't say that last night either. Affirmatively, okay. So to God's voice, that's what we are doing. We're responding with a yes to whatever God is telling us. In John 10:27, we are likened to the sheep. Jesus says, look, I am the good shepherd. And we are the sheep of his pasture, as the word of God says to us. And sheep are always in need of being led by another. You never drive sheep. We used to live in Richland Center years ago. It was a big farming area over there in that part of the state, you know, the hills and the valleys and all of those kinds of things. And we had a family in our church by the name of the McGrath family, and they had this farm kind of out towards Ithaca. And I remember being there one day when they were out bringing the cows in, you know, and the kids were all out behind the cows driving them back to the barn for milking. And, you know, that's the way you get cattle. But sheep, you don't drive sheep, you lead sheep. Someone's out front leading them. And the sheep is led by the shepherd to pasture, to water. So we have that wonderful 23rd Psalm. You know, he leads me beside still waters, you know, to the pastures green. And he restores my soul. He does all those things. The shepherd is the one who does that. So we are likened to the sheep of the shepherd. And Jesus says three things about that. First of all, he says in verse 27 of John 10, look, they hear my voice. The Greek word for voice is phoné, which we get our phonograph. You know, it means the sound. So it's the sound of his voice. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, you learn to recognize God's voice. You hear the sound of his voice. Sometimes we miss it, I suppose, but, you know, you recognize God's voice. And, you know, I'm kind of dense with God many times. You know, sometimes he'll bring one of you to my mind, and, you know, I'll think about that, and I won't do anything about it. And then all of a sudden I think about you again, and then I think about you again, and I better call, you know. That time takes a little while for God to get through to me that I should follow up on something. But, you know, God, we learn to recognize the voice of God. We hear his sound, you see. And so we don't recognize the voice of someone else, but the voice of the shepherd we do. Many of you have heard the story about the man who was visiting the Middle East. And his guide was taking him around the countryside. And they came to this place where this watering hole was. And there were several different shepherds with several different flocks of sheep. And they were all at the watering hole at the same time. And the guy is like, okay, how in the world are we going to figure out which sheep goes with which shepherd? And the guide said, well, they know the shepherd's voice. And so as one shepherd began to call his sheep, then all of his flock went to him. And none of them were mixed up, you see. They each went to the shepherd. Why? Because they know the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, look, someone else they will not follow. They follow the voice of the shepherd. So the disciple, what? He hears the voice of the shepherd so that he can follow his shepherd to what is good for him. He also says he knows his own. He uses the Greek word gnosko, which has to do with coming to know by experience. You see, God shares experiences with us. We share experiences with God. This morning in this place, we're sharing an experience, not only together, but particularly with God. We've prayed about this. The prayer team this morning has prayed for this service for an hour before this service. Others have been praying way before that. So we've been praying that God would show up today. Why? So we could have an experience with God. And God says, look, he knows. He has experiences with you. That's what the shepherd wants to do. Every day he wants to have an experience with you. He wants you to experience him. And then finally he says they follow him. They hear his voice. They follow him. They hear and respond. And they say, yes, 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 I will do what you ask me to do, Lord. So obedience is responding affirmatively to God's voice. And thirdly, obedience costs, as we talked about last week, but always leads to God's best. It always leads to God's best. Listen to what verse 28 says. I give them eternal life. That's one pretty good thing, right? If you're gonna follow after the Lord and go towards eternal life, there are some things that are going to drop off in your life. You're going to have to stop doing some stuff. Because the shepherd's going to call you away from that stuff. But that stuff is the stuff that's killing you anyway. So, you know, he's calling you to eternal life, which is the best. We get it here and we get heaven in the end, which is pretty cool. And then he says, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. He uses the strongest negative he can use here. He uses two negatives together, which means the same thing as in John 3:16. They shall, if you believe, they shall never, ever, 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 ever perish. That's what it means. And he says the same thing here. He uses the same Greek construction here that means they will never, ever, 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 you see, perish. But that means to be ruined, to suffer loss, you see. Sometimes we think, okay, if I abandon myself to God, then I'm going to have to lose some stuff here, and I don't know if I want to do that. And God says, look, that's not lost anyway. That stuff isn't good for you anyway. That the stuff that you want. Follow me, and you will never suffer loss. And thirdly, he says, look, you are in my Father's hand. You're safe there. Nobody can snatch you out of that. You are safe in God's hands. And then he says, look, my Father and I are one. We are one. You're in my hand. You're safe in my hand. You're safe in the Father's hand, and you collectively together are there, united together there like a body right here in my hand, and I have you. And he does this morning, he has us. And yet there is a cost to that, because hearing the voice of the shepherd means that you follow. Without question, you follow where God leads, don't you? And so that's exactly what God calls us to in discipleship. And when we follow him that way, we abandon our lives to him, then whatever God says, we say, okay, Lord, that is exactly what I'll do. You know, there are moments in life when the cost feels very real to us, isn't there? And that's where Monica and I find ourselves this morning. This is what you've been waiting for, right? So, now we have been pastoring this church for almost 30 years. In fact, 4 months from today will be the 30th anniversary of this church. Will also be the day that Monica and I retire from pastoring in this church. And we are getting ready to no longer be the pastors of this church. That is very hard for me to tell you this morning. Makes it a little easier because I had to do it last night, I guess. But we're hearing the voice of the shepherd too. And that always means there must be obedience on our part. And to follow the leading of the Lord is demanded. But I said before, his voice demands our obedience. And we believe that God has spoken to our hearts. This is the time that we need to begin to prepare for new leadership of this church. I was pretty blown away this morning by Jeff's obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. I really don't have to say anything after what the Spirit said to us this morning. Because the Spirit of the Lord said, look, there's a shift coming in the Spirit. Remember that? He said, And I forgot everything that he said, but there's a shift coming, and implying there's something new coming, and don't you shrink back. And then that word, part of shrinking back, was reiterated as Laurel responded to the voice of the Lord this morning to speak that word to us. And that is an incredible word. That's an incredible confirmation to my heart. Monica and I were like, wow, when Jeff was giving that word. It was like, you got to be kidding. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through Jeff, who knows nothing about what's coming. Jeff, you and I did not talk before this, did we? And the Spirit of the Lord used this young man to speak an incredibly powerful word. In fact, if you can remember what you said, I'd love to have you write that down for us. Because the Spirit of the Lord is that's the way he does things. Now, we have, for 30 years, been laying a foundation in this church. And we believe that God is going to accomplish a great ministry through this body. But God has really confirmed to us in many different ways that our time is drawing to a close here. And, by the time August 24th comes, on that fourth Sunday of August when the church is 30 years old, Monica and I will both be approaching 65. One of us will be closer than the other, just weeks away. We won't tell who that is, so lest we get in trouble. So anyway, we're closing in on that, and I recognize that, and I've known for a few years here already that this time is coming, and last Sunday was an incredible Sunday for me. I told the staff this is a monumental day. Last Sunday. As I talked about the cost of discipleship. And I was living that in an incredibly deep way as I preached that message. Because I have to deny myself the delight of being able to pastor you and to preach to you and to be a part of your lives that you have entrusted to us over these years. And that's a huge cost for us to give up. I have struggled with this incredibly, but I just know that it's the time is right and Jeff's word this morning, and that God says, look, this is God is about to do something new. I've preached for years, look, you have incredible potential. And the potential in this church is just amazing. Some of you might say, well, you're not going to be here, I'm out of here, What that somebody said to me, that to me at my last pastorate when it was time to come here to begin this church. And I said, well, what an insult to our ministry that would be. God has put this body together. And this is a body. And I think that's what the Spirit was saying. Don't shrink back now. If you say, well, I'm out of here because, pastor's not here. Well, you will set the work of the kingdom of God back here a ways. It's not that God can't rebuild that, but you will set that back because God has set this up for such a moment as this. And the best days are ahead. I feel a bit like Moses this morning. God is showing me, but he's not allowing me to go there. He says, Joshua, you'll take them into the land. You say, you'll take them, but you can't go there. And that's the way I feel a bit. I see it, but I won't be able to be the one leading there. And I've come to understand that over the years. That's been a real struggle for me to understand that I'm not going to be the one to see the incredible explosion that's going to happen in this church and community because of you. You are the body. I've just led you this far. But now it's time for someone else to come and lead you and to lead you into a place where I haven't been able to take you, but God is already setting somebody up. I've been praying for months. Every day I pray for this person. I pray for the kind of characteristics I believe need to be in the next person who will come and lead this body. And, you know, it's going to be different than me. It's not going to be the same. He's not going to be it's not going to be the Paul Hansen. And many of you will be glad for that, but so there'll be some sadness too, I guess. And so you'll say, well, he doesn't do it like Pastor Hansen did it, you know, which is great. Because what did God say? There's a shift coming, see? There's a shift. And don't shrink back about that. Embrace that. You know, life is full of change. Life is filled with change. And we are simply obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Monica and I have, you know, years ago, we felt God kind of leading us this direction. And that in the 30th year of this church, that kind of should be what we would conclude our ministry here. And, you know, as time has gone on now, we just felt the confirmation of God about that. And that God is just kind of putting the pieces together. That doesn't mean we're just, you know, going to go do, you know, nothing. We'll certainly be involved, and Monica will talk about that in a moment. But, you know, last Sunday morning I was preaching, or just before the message last Sunday morning, Judy Erickson gave a word from the Lord, which is a really powerful word. And I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't, you know, I've grappled with this. You know, and every time, you know, I come here to preach the last few weeks, I'm thinking, oh, God, I don't want to leave these people. How can I walk out? And I'd say to the staff, I'd say, how can I'm having such a struggle with this, you know, and leaving this that I love so much, and you people who I love. You are closer than my family to me, and you are just so incredible. You know, I got sisters and brother-in-laws and so on, but, you know, when you share and you love and you worship together, you have this bond that is just incredible. But Judy had this word last Sunday morning. It was a pretty brief word, and it started out, I don't remember exactly what it was, but how she started it, but something about not fearing or being afraid, and I've been really afraid to turn you over to someone else, afraid they won't love you like I do, or won't take care of you like I want you to be taken care of, and all of those things, you know. But the Lord, this is what the Lord said. You have done everything you can do. Now stand and see what I can do. Remember that? I was standing right down here in worship, and I was just, my heart was so in turmoil, and I was so overwhelmed. And, you know, as that word came, you know, it was like God was talking to me right directly. It might not have been for any of the rest of you, it was for me. And you know how that when a word of the Lord comes that's right, like Jeff's word this morning, Laurel's word this morning, like when it's right, your spirit goes, woof, you know, it just lifts you up. I mean, I was like that. I was just like, yes, you know. And I just broke into a smile standing here in the front row, and I said, yes, God. Because Monica and I have done everything we can do in these last 30 years. We poured our lives out. And we worked long hours, and sometimes I've neglected my family in order to minister. And I have been, you know, we've done everything we can do. And I've been so concerned about that. And then God just says, you just stand. Just stand back and watch what I can do. And that was such an encouraging word. That word put me at peace in my heart. I thought, okay, it's going to be okay. God has the plan. He is going to work that out in such an incredible, incredible way. I have no idea where I am in my notes, so it doesn't matter, I guess. Say, well, how long have you been thinking about this? Well, for a number of years, actually. You know, I've dropped some hints along the way. I said, well, I'm getting, you know, I can see the end from here. I'm, you know, we're getting closer and closer to 65 and so on. You know, and I've always wanted to, I never wanted to stay too long where people would say, well, Why doesn't the guy go? I mean, he's repeating himself all the time. He can't remember anything, you know. And he walks on two canes, you know. But I never wanted that to happen. But, you know, I remember in September of 2005, we had our pastor's prayer and planning retreat, and we always go away for that. And so we were at the Jesuit retreat house up on Lake Winnebago, and Pastor Pete and Brian Abbott was on staff at that point, and Pastor Troy and myself were sitting around this table, and Pete was the guy that really kind of got the whole thing out, because he said as we were sitting there, you know, Pastor, it's really hard to plan long term when we have no idea what your plan is. Well, I played dumb. I thought, what are you talking about? You know. So he says, you know, when you and Monica are thinking about retiring. And I didn't really want to say that because I didn't really want that out. You know, I didn't want to be kind of the lame duck pastor until those years. And I know that when you start telling these things, then people start automatically disconnecting a bit. So don't do that too much yet, okay? You know, I'm glad you didn't applaud when I said that we were going to retire. But, you know, I just know that happens. And I just didn't want, you know, to approach that. So I said to them, well, I'm going to tell you, but I'll tell you what. If any of you spills this to anybody, you're fired. Then I laughed. But I said, no, I'm really serious. I do not want this out, you know. And then when Lisa came on staff a year later, we were sitting at the same place, the same table. And of course, Brian was gone then. And so felt like we needed to bring her in on it. So she's been sitting on that for a year and a half or so as well. But, you know, I really haven't told people about this before today. And I would have liked to have been able to call every one of you and say that personally to you and talk to you and tell you how much Monica and I love you incredibly. But that wasn't really possible this morning, so we just had to kind of spill it out here. And last Monday we had the board and the wives come to our home for a meal. So at the end of the meal we had to, we're serving dessert. And so I kind of spilled it out over that time. And that was really one of the hard things I had to do because they just have such a great board and great couples on our board. These are couples I love so deeply. But I just began to share that with them. We began to talk about things and about what's going to happen. And I'm going to share that in just a moment. But, you know, they are just such a great bunch, and they're going to help carry the decisions of this church forward, you know, once our time here is over. But I guess we should hear from the little lady here. So maybe Monica can come and just share a couple of things. Up to that. She says to me the other day, I said, you know, I asked her if she wanted to share it this morning, and she said, well, you talk and I'll cry. And I said, no, you talk, I'll cry. So, you talk. The battery's going dead on this thing, but okay, maybe it'll
talk
last.
Fast.
Talk, no.
Well, we are sad. But we are glad. It's so incredibly hard to say goodbye. And yet, on the other hand, this is such a wonderful time in our lives. We just find ourselves experiencing this full range, full gamut of emotions. Several years ago, you know, when we started talking about this, like, you guys are doing the same thing, you know, you're looking forward to retirement and you start to make your plans. But I tell you, that seems so far away. And now it's just coming too fast. And hard to think about that. And some days we just want to change all our plans. But over the last 30 years, our hearts truly have just swelled with pride when we bragged on you. I've always felt like Portview Christian Center is really the best church in this whole state. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It was just so easy to go there to tell people what a wonderful congregation you have been. And we have heard many pastors say over the years, out of their frustrations after Sunday, that they wanted to resign on Monday. And I asked Paul one time, I said, do you feel that way? And he said, never. And you know, it's just really hard for me to put into words, I'm sure for Paul also, how we have flourished under your prayers and under your encouragement and your many, many, many gifts of kindness to us. You know, it's like getting a beautiful package all wrapped up, and it's awesome. And then we get to untie the bow. And we've opened that package time and time and time again. That's a gift that is such a treasure to us. Thank you. Actually, I don't know how we will adjust to that void in our lives, because that will never be the same again. We want you to know that we have not finished the race yet. We just really feel that we have God's stamp of approval to change addresses and to slow the pace just a bit. I know many of you have heard that we have sold our home, and you've been asking where we're going to live. Well, and we've said, we've asked you if you've had a spare bedroom. But our grandson, Isaiah, we're going to be going to live with Carrie, our daughter, and Jay. But their youngest son, Isaiah, literally has been praying every day that Grams and Baba would come and live with them. And so that's what we're going to do for these remaining months. And last night, Carrie and the kids were here, and so I asked Luke, I said, well, Luke, you ready to share your bedroom with your brother? And he said, yes, and I will get to have coffee every morning.
Yep.
Paul, like I said, we're not quitting entirely. Paul has already accepted an invitation to teach at City on a Hill this next fall semester. He had done that last fall, and you know that's always something he enjoys doing so much. And he also plans on filling pulpits across the state. That is by invitation. But often pastors take vacations, and they need someone to assist them, or if, for other reasons, sickness, mission trips, whatever. So he wants to do that. And sometimes he may even have the opportunity to intern in a church when there is a pastoral change, and when a church was without a pastor for a period of time. Like I said, he has told the district office, and so they are already saying that they're looking forward to him doing that, because they know that he will do a very fine job with that and helping those congregations. And I will continue to do whatever I can as a helpmate. You know, only God knows our plans, the plans he has for us, but it would be our desire to be snowbirds and go south for the winter. But the other months of the year, we will be residing in Waupaca. Our home is on Spencer Lake, where our campgrounds is at, where you send your kids, you know, for a Bible camp. And so, if you're ever up there, we want you to know that you can please stop by. We'll leave the light on. And we'll probably be in dire need of some hugs. So please stop and say hi. But otherwise, I just want to thank you for honoring us by letting us be here for 30 years and the great joy that we've had in serving you. Thank you so much.
I gotta talk.
Thank you so much. I wish I was okay until she talked. I just want to answer some questions this morning and talk to you a little bit about what will happen here in our church as we move forward. And so we're not gone yet. And like I say, don't disconnect from us too quickly, okay? We just love you so much. So I just want to talk for a few moments and talk about what's going to happen. And then, the board and I will select a pastoral search committee very soon. And some of you will be on that committee. We'll appoint a chairperson to head that committee, and who will do the work of finding the right couple to come here for leading of this assembly. As Monica already said, I've notified the district office, sat down in Arden Adamson's office, who is the outgoing superintendent, and with my brother-in-law, Ron Held, who is the secretary-treasurer of this district, who will come here and talk to us as soon as he gets over his back surgery that's coming up on Monday. And now there's a process that we will go through that we'll follow. That's already been kind of laid out. There's a manual district office has. They're there to consult with us and to help us in that way. And so we believe the committee will begin its work probably within the next month, and we will begin our search for just the right person that God already has chosen. You know that? God has already chosen that. The word Jeff gave this morning about this shift, I think that already is indicative of what's going to happen, because God says, look, there's a new thing coming. I know that. And I'm so excited for you as a church. And my only grief is that I can't be a part of that in the same way that we have been in the past. But we will certainly come back and visit and rejoice in what God is about to do here. And you say, well, what happens in August? You know, after the fourth Sunday of August, you guys are gone. So what happens then? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have already arranged to have an interim pastor come to fill the pulpit, and you're going to be just absolutely enjoy the ministry of Joel and Rosalie Pavia, who were our former district superintendents in this district, pastored at Evangel Assembly in Milwaukee for 18 years. Joel and Rosalie are just very good friends of ours. We had lunch with them Friday and spent some time talking to them as they're back from Arizona a little early this year due to some family issues. But they're going to come here and minister, and he's one of the snowbirds too, so he'll be here through like December and then be gone. But by that time, we're sure we'll have the right person in place here in this assembly. So Joel and Rosalie are just delightful people, one of the sharpest couples I know. I say Joel has like more common sense than any guy I've ever seen, and he just will do a great job as we move into this, because they're just uniquely gifted. They do this every summer. They do interim pastorates. You know, they did the Brookfield Assembly when they were between pastorates. They were in Baraboo last year. So they will be here, you know, each weekend to minister. They won't be here all week long, because as Joel says, if I was going to do that, I would have kept my day job. I would have kept being the superintendent. So he is retired, but he will come down on Saturdays, meet with the pastoral search committee or the board or, you know, other people as needed. And then after the services on Sunday, they'll make their way back to Waupaca where they reside. The question that might be asked is, well, who makes the decision as to who the next pastor should be here at Portview? And that is you. You make that decision. The pastoral search committee will do its work, and they will provide a candidate to be voted upon, but you will make the decision. We are a congregational form of government. The membership of this assembly will say yes or no to that person that is invited to come here. And probably what would happen is the committee would, early on, once they decide who might be the person that they think that might be the right fit and that they feel God's leading on, you know, or several couples, they might send two couples some weekend to go to that place, wherever that is, and sit on that person's services, and without the guy knowing that they're coming, They just go in and sit and just see how that person functions in a church setting, and kind of get a feel for that. And so if they like that, they'll get some tapes and videotapes, hopefully, and bring that back to the committee and begin to process that. Ultimately, that person or couple family will come here for could be up to a week, I suppose, but at least a few days where they could come. Could have some times where you could meet them in an informal way, ask questions, talk to them, get to know them. They'd be in the services, preaching, leading in that capacity, meeting with the board, the pastoral search committee, and others, so that we could find out as much as we can about that person and what their goals and dreams are, and what God is already putting into their heart for this church. So ultimately, after that weekend, they would be here. If there is a sense that we should take a vote on that, it would take 2/3 of the voting membership to constitute an election. That would bring them here for the first year. At the end of a first year, that's kind of like, I don't like to call it a probationary period, but it's a period of getting to know each other. At the end of the first period, then there would be another vote. And then that vote would be, to retain them and call them indefinitely to be the pastors of this church. So that's kind of the way that works. And you say, well, what about our current staff? What about our team that's assembled here already? And they will, unless they choose to go someplace else, they will, of course, stay on here. The understanding is that when the new pastor comes, he does have the right to select his own people if he wants to. But more and more these days, they retain staff that are already in place. I think that's great wisdom. And so we would just have to see what would happen there. Typically, they formally or informally tender their resignation to the board, and the board doesn't do anything with that until the new pastor comes, and then they say, okay, we're here. We offer our services to you. We offer our ministries here to this church, and hopefully that would be they would choose to retain the current staff that we have with us, and that usually many times is the way it is. So there's going to be a lot more to say in the next weeks and months. I just wanted to get this process started. I actually was planning on telling the board in January and you and at the annual business meeting. And somebody told me that's the kind of way they felt like back in February. There was this change that was coming. That was my plan originally, but Pastor Pete said, "Well, you shouldn't say anything until you've sold your house, because obviously we couldn't go anyplace until that happened." So I wanted to tell you early enough, so we could kind of get the grieving over, if we can do that, until the last day at least, and then we can kind of celebrate together and get ready for what God is going to do. So we believe God's going to do an incredible work in this place. And I just want to encourage you to be a part of that, to stay here. Don't start disconnecting and say, well, I'm going to be gone. If you do that, you're going to miss the best of what's going to happen. Robin Brunquell sent me a note a few weeks ago, a couple months ago now, and she said, I hear you could be resigning, because I guess she heard her house was up for sale. So she pens me this note, and she says, I think I still have it. She says, if you do that, you're going to miss something really exciting that God is going to do here. And I'm thinking, yep, she is exactly right. But I know that's not going to be under my watch. And that really makes me sad. But I know she's right. And she's got that right in the spirit. That is what's going to happen. So I'm saying, don't disconnect. Don't start thinking about, well, let's see, Pastor Monica leaving, well, it's not going to be the same. No, it won't be the same. It's going to be new and exciting, and it's going to be incredible, because God is going to do it. Now, you say, well, I think I'm out of here. Well, that will set the kingdom back. The body is a body. Well, you start cutting fingers off, you can't function as well. And, God has a way of replacing people and doing that ultimately in the future, but all we've invested in these years, I'm saying, don't disconnect from the body, because what will happen is to set the kingdom back. of what God wants to do in this place. Because I believe that in 5 years, when I come back here, you know, there's going to be, you know, 2 or 3 times as many of you because of you and what God is going to do in this place and the impact that you are going to have on this whole region. And I just believe that God has put that in my heart. And I believe that. I see it. Jeff's word confirmed that to me this morning again, as God has been doing. And so that word is, don't shrink back now. This is the moment to go ahead and see what God's going to do. You prayer warriors, you pray now. This is your time to pray. You know, I've been praying every day. Would you join me in praying for that new man? I feel that. God's already laying his hand on his life. He may not even know it yet. You just pray that into existence. You believe with me that God is going to send just the right person here. When he gets here, I've told people, you know, I hope that after about 2 months, they say, you know, about Paul Hansen was the founding pastor. Paul who? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think I remember some guy like that here, you know, that. You will be so excited about what God is doing in a new way. I don't want you to forget me, but, you know, but that you'll say, okay, yeah, I see God's wisdom in this. As Monica said, we'll be ministering here and there and across the state. And one of the griefs of me for last Sunday, knowing that was the last Sunday I'd preached to you that you didn't know, you know, it was the last kind of normal Sunday of our ministry here that you didn't know that we were leaving, is that, you know, I'll never have that anymore. I won't have that, because to go out and preach to people that you don't have this common connection with is not going to be the same. And I sit in the superintendent's office, and he said, Paul, it's not the same. There's nothing like preaching to your people. So thank you for letting me do that all these years. I want us to do communion this morning, so we're going to have the worship team come back and lead some songs. And Monica and I are going to serve you communion this morning. So if you could, as you begin this morning, just begin to kind of go back, you know, if you're in this section, just kind of go back and come down the center aisle and just flow here, and then go back up the outside aisles, back to your places. That'll keep the congestion down. But we would love to be able to serve you communion individually this morning. So don't take too much time. Talk to us here. Just pick up your communion and let's just blessing to you, and that you would we just wanted to do this. We are just one body, you see, the Bible says, and I just want us to be able to do this morning in a kind of a sense of our solidarity and our love and our sharing in our lives together over these years. So we just love you so much, and it's going to be so hard for us to do, but we just know that it's the right thing, and God confirms that again and again to us. So go on this journey with us, will you? And let's just see what God will do this summer. Really connect in this summer. Let's pray and work, and let's just have a great, great summer together. And we will then, summer is coming, we think. So then we'll see what God does there. But thank you so much, God.